Welcome to Pet Lover Geek, powered by Pet Hub. I'm your host, Lorian Clemens, and I'm super and happy to have your company with us for the next half hour or so. Today, we're going to dig deep into pet insurance. Now, according to statistics, it's one of the fastest growing sectors in the pet industry. I think it grew like 22-23% just last year. And if you have a pet, I bet you are inundated with advertising in all your social feeds about pet insurance. But I'm going to talk about some numbers here, shall we? Because you know I love me some statistics. There aren't a lot of people that have pet insurance. So there's about 70% of all the households in the United States have pets, and there's roughly 125 million dogs and cats. We're not talking about birds and fish and all that kind of stuff, but dogs and cats. About 125 million of those living as furry family members in our homes here in the U.S. But according to the North America Pet Health Insurance Association, that's NAFIA. I am assuming that's how we pronounce it, but I don't know. We'll make it up. Only about 5.36 million pets were insured at the end of 2022 in the United States. And about 80% of those were dogs. So hardly any cats getting insured, which all in all, I say is mind-boggling to me. I don't understand that we have a little bit more than 4% of pets in the U.S. that have some kind of pet insurance coverage, despite how much we clearly love our pets in this country, and despite how unbelievably expensive veterinary care is getting these days. Speaking of costs of veterinary care, I'm sure you've noticed how expensive it's getting. It seems to be growing every year. On average, routine medical care can run anywhere between $150 to $250 annual, depending on if you have a dog or a cat and how old they are. Preventive care is another $150 to $250. You add in dental, that's several hundred more, depending on where you live and what kind of dental care you're getting for them. And that's not even if something happens. If, you know, the worst case thing happens and you have some kind of a medical emergency or they get some kind of a disease or something like that, just going to an emergency vet can cost you $200 just to walk in the door. And before you even leave, you might be thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in the hole. And you haven't even talked about those annual and wellness and vaccines and all those other things that are running up a hefty bill for you already. So one would think that pet insurance would be front of mind for people because we have it as part of our human existence all the time. And we know that it helps us manage our costs well. And, you know, when you look at what recent Federal Reserve reports tell us, they tell us that more than a third of Americans can't cover an emergency over $400. They don't have $400 of rainy day cash to cover anything. And so people are having, if they do have those medical emergencies for their pets, they're using credit cards, loans, dipping deep into their personal savings, if they have it, to do it. Or unfortunately, they're choosing not to do it. They're choosing to not get that medical care that their animals need. My mind is just blown that we don't have a higher uptake of pet insurance. I have a lot of theories personally about why that uptake on pet insurance is so darn low. But I do have somebody on the show today who's going to hopefully help me answer that question, maybe. But more importantly, give us a tour of all the ins and outs of insuring your pet so that for you, the reason isn't because I don't know anything about it. So we want to make sure that at the end of today, you really understand what pet insurance is all about, what to look for, how to secure it, et cetera, et cetera. So for that, I'm very excited to have Frankie Lopez with me today. Frankie is the head of partnerships for Fletch Technologies. Full disclosure, Pet Hub works with Fletch in order to connect our members to the best pet insurance options out there. I said, hey, Frankie, would you come onto the show and talk to people about pet insurance and all the goodness? Frankie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you having me. That was a heck of an intro, and you have a heck of a podcast voice.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I don't know how many people that listen to the podcast know, and I know a lot of people in the pet industry don't know, but I actually have a master's in acting, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. Back in the day, I used to do voiceover work. In fact, my voice was the voice at the Senator John Hine Regional History Center in Pittsburgh. A couple of the exhibits, I actually was doing some voiceover work there, and I did commercials and what have you.
The more you know. I had no idea. You definitely have a right? Great podcast. I felt like you've been doing it for millions of years.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, this one I think we've actually been doing now. I think this is our 6th year or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So reflecting back on what I was mentioning before, I know we're going to dig into deep things. First, I guess let's start with why the heck should people be listening to Frankie Lopez? What does he know? Why are you on the show? Why did I ask you?
Yes, absolutely. So let me just go into a little bit of my background. So as you mentioned, Frankie Lopez, I'm director of partnerships at Fletch Technologies. And what Fletch is an insurance marketplace provider that allows customers to get personalized quotes from several insurers through an objective platform. We know how hard it is to find and compare different insurance, especially pet insurance. So we wanted to make it as easy as possible for consumers to do so themselves. And one way we do this is by partnering with folks like Pet Hub to provide a free tool to compare different pet insurance policies directly on your website. So we know the ins and outs of insurance because we just spend so much time looking through the different policies and making sure that the right products are put in front of our partners' customers, Pet Hub's customers specifically. Also, quick disclaimer before moving on, because it's something I have to do. Nothing on this podcast is meant to be explicit insurance advice, just guidance on pet insurance and the products. So please, I beg all of you to do your own research after listening to this before selecting a policy that is right for you.
Yeah, and we're not actually on this show. I don't think we're going to go and say, use XYZ pet insurance, right? Because that's not really the purpose of today. Mm-hmm. And there's frankly a ton of really great pet insurance products out there. And Fletch carries really tremendous. I would frankly not hesitate any of the insurances that I know that are on the Fletch tool that we use here at Pet Hub. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend any of those to our users, which is one of the reasons why we chose Fletch, because of the way that you guys do a really tremendous job of basically sifting through everything and vetting those companies thoroughly. They have to meet very strict criteria and all that kind of stuff. So let's go back though to kind of like, okay, there's this issue that people are spending a heck of a lot of money on veterinary care, or don't have the money that they need to spend on veterinary care. And I know for a lot of us, for our own personal medical health, without pet insurance, we would not be able, without human medical insurance, we would not be able to get the care that we needed, particularly if something bad happens to us. If we have like some kind of an emergency or disease type of thing, most of us can't afford it. And we also know even with insurance, sometimes it's insurmountable cost-wise. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that, though, because I do believe that one of the biggest reasons that people don't have pet insurance, and this is a belief, I don't have proof or anything, that is because they don't really know anything about it.
Right.
And I've talked to a lot of people, friends and colleagues and even customers here at Pet Hub, have so many misconceptions about what pet insurance is, how much it costs. They don't even have the slightest clue about how to even start evaluating what is the best plan, what is the right plan for them. So I want to start with the basics. And I think the main basic is pet insurance is not the same as human health insurance. Mm-hmm. And it's not even classified as the same type of insurance. So if you can kind of give us that, don't get too deep into the woods about P&C coverage and all that kind of stuff, because it's really confusing, but just kind of give it that high level, like what's the main difference?
So pet and human insurance, they are similar, but they have some noteworthy differences. So pet, like human insurance, is a payment that we make monthly or annually that will help cover unexpected injuries or illnesses for our pet. So essentially covering the cost of our pet's care, things like vet bills, medication, surgeries, things like that, depending on the policy. Both of them have deductibles and annual limits. So what you're responsible to pay for before the insurance kicks in, that's your deductible. We're all familiar with that from human health insurance, annual limits as well, the max amount of money your pet insurance provider will actually reimburse you within that 12-month period. That's also fairly similar to human health insurance. The biggest difference I think I want to highlight is that when you visit the vet, you actually pay for pet insurance upfront and out of pocket, and then you submit your claim to the insurance company afterwards for reimbursement. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I think is actually a huge differentiator, not necessarily a differentiator, but just a very important point when it comes to pet insurance specifically, is the pre-existing conditions. Yeah. We'll get into this later, but this is a very important thing to stress up front for anybody who's even considering pet insurance, is that no pet insurance policy is going to cover pre-existing conditions, which is a condition, a sickness, or an injury that started prior to the policy.
Right. And we are going to get deeper into that, because that's like key when you're looking for pet insurance. Just like software design and development, I know just enough to break things. So I only know enough about pet insurance legalese to mess this up. But there's an entire classification about pet insurance. Pet insurance is underneath property and casualty. Mm-hmm. Basically, your pets, as far as the insurance industry is concerned, are the same as your car or that kind of thing. And so
I do not agree with that notion at all. Pets are family.
Not at all. Like it goes against my grain. any company that is dealing with pet insurance in terms of, you know, helping people secure pet insurance has to become licensed mm-hmm. to even talk about it. And we had to become licensed as a company. And we have several members of our team who went through that process. And when we discovered that, what? It's not even the same type of classification as a human's insurance. And they don't look at them as a sentient being or anything like that. And so that means that there's some of the laws involved for it that they're allowed to do with pet insurance, like this pre-existing conditions, like the hereditary things that we'll talk about that are like, oh, that's not fair. Yeah, but as far as the laws are concerned, it is.
Yeah.
So we won't get too deep into that, but that's just kind of one of the things. I think let's start with there's different types of pet insurance out there. And it is a fairly nascent industry, this pet insurance. Been around for a while, but at the same time, it's not really fully baked yet, as it were, especially here in the United States, where it hasn't been around for that long. It's been around in Europe for much, much longer, Canada as well, but not here in the United States.
And to that point, in Europe, there's a way higher penetration of pet insurance.
Oh, huge. Yeah, it's incredible. In fact, when I talk to my folks that I know in the industry over there, they're shocked by how little pet insurance is used over here. So let's talk about the most common types of pet insurance that are out that you're likely to get, because not all pet insurance policies are created equally. Doesn't mean that they're not all valuable in one way or another, but you really need to understand the type of mm-hmm. pet insurance plan that you're getting. Again, there are some similarities over there in the human medical space that will help us understand these things, kind of decide like what are those types?
Absolutely. This is incredibly important because things get advertised in different ways and you need to know exactly what you're looking at, what that entails. At a high level, there are two types of actual insurance products. One of them is accident and illness that covers both injuries and illnesses for your pet. So injuries can be like broken bones, car accidents. Illnesses can be anything from cancer to diabetes, infections, things like that. And then the other umbrella is just accident only. Only covering injuries. Those do tend to be cheaper policies, given that they're not covering illnesses. However, insurance products can also come with a wellness plan. You can get this separately if you'd like. You can get it attached with your insurance product. It's not required by any means. It can be entirely optional. And with a wellness plan, it helps you pay for sort of the general care that isn't necessarily included in insurance products. Very similar to health insurance, but in health insurance, we tend to have all of that wrapped into one. With pet insurance, it's a completely separate product. So wellness plans pay for vet visits, for example, vaccines, dental cleanings, things that you would consider sort of routine. So if you're getting an insurance product and you're hoping to pay for things that are a little bit more routine, consider a wellness offering as well.
That's key. And I think a lot of pet parents are caught unawares because they think, well, I got the full thing that I could get. I got the comprehensive. You're probably just getting a comprehensive accident and illness. You're not getting the full comprehensive bit. It's like a rider. So if I was getting something for my house or my cars, well, I guess house is easier to understand than car for both my house. I have to get a rider in certain places if right. I want flood insurance or that kind of thing. It's not part of that general policy. That right there is part of one of the things that is most confusing for people when they're going in and looking at things, because pet insurance, when it's advertised, a lot of times it looks like it's being one size fits all, but it's really mm-hmm. not. And so let's talk about in terms of like, why would I choose different types of plans? So you mentioned a little bit about cost. Is it all down to cost?
Not necessarily. It's a yes and no. It kind of comes down to cost, but really it comes down to what influences those costs or what affects those costs. For example, different pet insurance companies price different breeds differently. They price different ages differently. They price different locations differently. And those particular products could just not be as comprehensive as other products. That doesn't mean that one is less comprehensive necessarily. It means that maybe one, when you get down to the nooks and crannies, when you get down to the details, isn't covering this particular thing that you were hoping it was going to cover. So that's why it's really important to read sort of the sample policies. It's important to go to the pet insurance website and just make sure that it's covering particular things that you specifically would want covered for your mm-hmm. pet, which could matter depending on their breed, which could matter depending on their location.
Well, to talk about that. Like, so breed is a big deal here, right? Mm-hmm. And that hereditary disorders and right. all these kind of things. Why are there so many differences in terms of breed and age and size and location and all yeah. that?
Absolutely. So certain breeds can be more expensive to insure than others because they can have a higher rate of particular health risks. For example, some larger breeds, they are more likely to have hip dysplasia, like golden retrievers or labs. So they actually price that in from an insurance perspective. Also, age can affect price pretty significantly. The older the dog is, generally, the more likely they are to have an issue. So customers with older pets end up paying more, especially up front. And given most insurance companies don't cover pre-existing conditions, we do recommend getting policies as young as possible, because the older the dog is, the more likely they might have something that's a pre-existing condition. And you don't ever want to be caught in that situation where the vet says, this actually started way before the policy.
Yeah. So I have a little couple personal stories. Way back when we very first began Pet Hub, neither of Tom's or my dogs had pet insurance. So we were partnering with several different pet insurances and learning more about them and things like that. He chose one for his dog, Uller, and I chose one for my dog, Penny. It was really kind of a, we liked both people. We didn't know much about pet insurance. So we picked him. Uller was very young and Penny was, I think, about 4.5, 5. Mm. Within a couple of months of getting the pet insurance for Penny, the Boston Terrier, she was bit by a cousin Rottweiler dog in the eye.
Oh, wow.
It was horrible. It was like a horror show. And so many surgeries later, she eventually lost her eye years later. But what we found was, even though we ended up liking the insurance that Uller was on, and I'm not going to talk about the two companies there, but we ended up liking that pet insurance better and dealing with them better from a pet parent perspective. We're like, ooh, we like this one better. And we would have loved to have moved Penny over to that other pet insurance just because we liked it better and we liked what we were getting better. But we were stuck staying with the original one we got. And it was because she now had a pre-existing condition. Mm. That bite to the eye that ended up costing us out of pocket several thousand dollars, but in terms of pet insurance claims, it was like 18 grand over her life.
Wow.
That the insurance company was helping us pay. And thank goodness we had that pet insurance, because had we not had that pet insurance, we probably would have made different decisions for her health. But that single accident of her getting bit that led to a pre-existing condition meant that we could not move over to another pet insurance because now she had a pre-existing condition. So if you could talk about that and like what that whole pre-existing thing means when you're buying.
Let's talk about the boogeyman really quick.
It's a big booger. Yeah.
So pre-existing conditions, just to lay it out there, injuries or illnesses that happened prior to the pet insurance coverage starting. As a rule of thumb, pet insurers just simply do not cover this. That's what we've seen across the board. Maybe there are exceptions, unlikely. There are some that extend coverage to curable conditions like an ear infection, but we do recommend reading the particular policy in greater detail just to get an understanding of the insurer's positioning on that. I think it should just go as a rule of thumb. Pet insurers generally do not cover this. So this is why we, and I would say most who are involved in pet insurance, would say buy before anything comes up, preferably when the pet is young and healthy so that there is no risk of anything like this happening.
I can't stress this enough. New Boston Terrier that we got, we literally got her pet insurance when she was 8 weeks old. Mm-hmm. It was the first thing we did when we brought her home. In fact, we had already chosen the pet insurance we were going to use before we even brought her home. It was based on the experience that we had had with Penny before. And so we knew exactly what we wanted. We knew what the breed was likely to have happen with the breed. So we wanted a pet insurance that was going to be good for that breed. We had hindsight available to us. A lot of pet parents don't have hindsight, especially if they're brand new to this. The minute you get that pet is when you should be looking for pet insurance. Mm-hmm. Or if you're even considering getting a pet, be thinking about what pet insurance you want to get. And don't wait. Because a lot of pets, even pets adopted from shelter, are going to come with a pre-existing condition. You have to know that when you're adopting them, that that is going to be part of the cost ahead of time. And then what about those hereditary things? You briefly mentioned about golden retrievers. Are there things that you're going to find that can't get covered, period?
Speaking of hereditary conditions, and let's just define it really quickly. Hereditary conditions are just genetic diseases inherited by a dog or a cat's parents, similar to human insurance, human health. Common hereditary conditions actually include hip and elbow dysplasia, for example. Most insurers cover hereditary conditions that are breed specific. So hereditary coverage is usually available so long as symptoms of that condition are not present prior to the policy's effective date or during applicable waiting periods. So if your dog suffered any of those symptoms before enrollment, they would be considered pre-existing, which is why even more so important, especially if you have a breed that you know is going to have some or can have some hereditary conditions or prone to some particular diseases, for example, even more important to get a policy as young as possible.
Yeah.
We shout that from the rooftops because you absolutely never know.
Yeah. Whether you adopted it from the shelter or you get it from a breeder or you've inherited it from a family member, if you have a purebred dog and they are more likely or their significant portion of their DNA background is from a specific breed that has something like his dysplasia or cataracts or what have you, get that pet insured as soon as possible. You mentioned waiting periods. What are those?
Yeah. Waiting periods is the period that you have to wait before coverage kicks in. Insurers do this to avoid issues with pre-existing conditions. Or customers just coming in with pets that they know already have issues and think it'll kick in right away, expecting coverage. So the rule of thumb is that pet insurers do not offer immediate coverage. Most commonly, you're going to find a waiting period to be around 14 days, 2 weeks before coverage actually kicks in.
Cool. So get it as soon as you can. And when you're picking the pet insurance, now obviously Fletch has tools to help you pick a good pet insurance, is why we chose to use you here, PetUp. When a pet parent is looking for pet insurance, what are those boxes that they should be checking when they're trying to find out what the best option is? Boy, howdy, it is a huge growing field. There are so many pet insurances out there. It feels like a new one starts every month.
Right.
How do you know what's best for you?
I will say at the end of the day, insurance is a great idea for all pet parents. I don't think there's going to be a single pet parent out there who wouldn't benefit from some sort of insurance. And which policy you get kind of comes down to how much you're willing to spend if an emergency arises. At the end of the day, we all understand that how much you have in your pocket will influence a lot of how much you will be willing to spend on pet insurance. It makes sense. And what you want covered. If you have plenty saved for emergencies and you want to limit your monthly spend, maybe lower the deductible and annual limit. If you would really count on an insurance to pay for a decent chunk of whatever emergency arises, get a high deductible, make the decisions with the deductibles and annual limits as you should. From there, we actually suggest doing the research to see which policy is right in terms of coverage. And we would say doing that research based on your pet breed, checking out the hereditary conditions, checking the different policy data to make sure that that particular hereditary condition is covered, things like that. And also age. The younger, the better. But for certain insurance policies, as that pet gets older, perhaps the price differential makes more sense with this particular policy versus the other. The only way to really know that is to input your pet's breed information, input the age, and just see what the number comes out to.
Your tool helps with that, which is really great. And I'd say also to do some research in terms of what people are saying, because that actually led us directly to choose the ones that we chose for our current pets and to not choose others that we had maybe heard about or seen in our feed. And then as soon as we started digging deep, we're like, that doesn't really fit our lifestyle. That's not really what we're looking for. The things that people were talking about that they liked and then things that people were talking about that they didn't like, we're like, oh yeah, that would bother us too. Knowing full well that they're going to be keyboard warriors. We're going to complain about whatever. Absolutely. Kind of take those with a grain of salt. You learn to filter those out, but definitely look at those and see, is it offering the types of things that I want? Do I want an app-based thing or do I want it? So there are actually insurances now, Frankie, that do work directly with veterinarians. They're limited, but they will pay the veterinary first. So things like that.
Yep, absolutely. And the customer experience as well at the end of the day, claim processing, things like that. That stuff, you know, is very important to a lot of people. And I completely understand that you would be willing to pay up a little bit more if you're going to have sort of a seamless white glove experience.
If you want one of those that you're never going to talk to anything but a chat, you're not ever going to get to talk to a real human being. But because of that, you're going to pay a lot less because they're not having to pay as much upfront for one-on-one customer care. That's fine. That's what you want. If you want somebody to hold my hand and make sure that everything is perfect, you're going to be paying more for that. You get what you pay for on that end. So let's talk about easiest way to get a quote. Go to PetHub. We have pethub.com/insurance. It's going to take you right to that tool that we have with Fletch. And what can they experience once they get there?
So the easiest way for pet hubs to compare quotes is to just go into the profile, select the insurance box if you're already a pet hub customer. But if you're going to pethub.com/insurance, you'll just land right at the quoting engine. It'll have you fill out your pet info. It'll have you fill out your personal info. And it's going to return back a comprehensive list of different insurance options that are applicable for you. From there, you can customize your deductible. You can customize your annual limits. If certain discounts apply, you can customize that as well. And once it spits out a real-time quote for you, you can select the option and you'll be directed to the insurance experience. Well, you'll be able to check out your policy right there on the spot after 10 minutes, maybe less.
In fact, it's less if you're a PetHub member, because we send a lot of that information ahead for you. So you're not having to type in all that stuff. It's something automatically, as we like to say, happens if you're a PetHub member. But anybody can use the tool at pethub.com/insurance. Well, thank you, Frankie. Anything else you want to add before we sign off for the day?
It was a pleasure being on the podcast. Really happy to discuss pet insurance. I think pet insurance is an incredibly valuable and important tool for pet parents. Again, I cannot stress enough, get it as young as possible. We need to treat our pets like family, even if the insurance companies don't believe so.
Exactly. And eventually, we're going to get those laws changed. I'm confident in that. Thank you for joining us today, pet lovers. Please make sure to check out more Pet Lover Geek episodes. You can find us on Buzzsprout. That's our home. But you can also find us on Spotify, Apple. Pretty much anywhere you listen to a podcast, you will find Pet Lover Geek. If you have questions, if you have ideas, drop us a line. PawNews@PetHub.com. That's PawNews@PetHub.com. Or just visit PetHub.com. You can learn more about what we do, how we connect you to everything you need for your pet, and you can message us right there on the website. Thank you again. Have a wonderful time with however you're spending the rest of your day, and make sure you're giving a scratch behind the ears to those fur kids for me.